as we come together on this evening, I just want you all to know that getting old, I'm not laughing, I may be smiling, but there are a whole lot of things that we fear as we get old. And one of those things is that our memory tends to fade away. The things that we are supposed to do, sometimes we forget to do them. Sometimes we do things without knowing them. I went back down there to get the mic to put it on. And I see you laughing, Brother Simmons. And I was looking for it. Anita thought I was looking for my Bible, but I have one of those up here. And I already have it. I had already had it keyed up and everything ready to just turn on. But it's a terrible thing. There are a lot of things, and it just falls into line with the lesson. There's a lot of things that we fear. When I first started preaching here, Brother Pack mentioned to me that he was afraid of heights. I'm sorry, Brother Pack, I just had to tell it, that he was afraid of heights. He said, I don't want to get up there. He said, I'm afraid of heights. And that's okay to be afraid of some things. There are many of things that we are afraid of in this world. There are many of us that are afraid of dogs. Some are afraid of cats. Others are afraid of snakes. All sorts of things that we are afraid of. But as we think about our Lord and our Savior, the things in which He has given us, the idea of why we do what we do around and about 1994, 95, in that time frame, looking at the scripture reference to in Acts chapter 2, looking at the men that were obedient unto God on that day, about 3,000 souls. What pricked their hearts? What convinced them to put Christ on? A lot of it dealt with fear, I do believe. And the reason I believe that is because it is not so much as being afraid of something. It is the idea of reverence toward God. And that is what we all need to have. We need to have reverence toward God. And so when we look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse is 7. Hebrews chapter 11 and the verse is 7. Appreciate Brother Rashad for the scripture reading on this morning and on this evening. We find these words once again. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. And by this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. That comes by faith. Being warned, the Bible says, by God concerning events yet unseen. Now, I ask you, have you read the Bible lately? Have you read in Scripture that there is a great day coming? And on that day, as I stated this morning, the righteous are going to be told to enter into the kingdom of heaven, and the unrighteous are going to be thrown into the lake which burns with fire and sulfur. That's a warning of things yet unseen. Events that have not ever happened before. Now, should that move some people to doing what's right? With the ideal of burning in an eternal fire? I would suggest that it should. And there are some that will, and there are others that just don't care. Hebrews again, 11 and 7, when we look at this man by the name of Noah, who did what God wanted him to do. He built the ark exactly how God told him to build it. So we need to take that into consideration. But when we look at this subject of being moved by fear, there are two different types of fear that we want to look at. Again, the first fear, the one that is commanded, the one that is commanded is the one that we all need to be paying attention to. The second, the fear that is forbidden, we need to stay away from that fear. Forbidden, you know, the fruit that they ate from in the garden that was forbidden of them to eat, they ate of it anyway. They should have feared God enough not to eat of it because of what God had said. The day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Being warned by God, but yet did what they wanted to do because they did not reverence Him enough. Listening to some outsider trying to tell them they knew better than God. Or God, you know, knows that once you eat of that fruit that you will become like a God, knowing good and evil. I'd be okay without knowing things that are bad. Would you? You know, the Bible tells us from time to time, keep them simple concerning those things. The things that will cause them to lose their soul. There are times where we have to tell people what they're doing is wrong in order for them to realize the importance of not doing those things. Justin's song came on the radio yesterday or Friday, one of the other. It's really not that important when it came on, but the words, the lyrics of that song was something that I understood what they were talking about, but he didn't, and he was singing that song wholeheartedly. I said, do you know what that means? He said, no. I said, well, don't sing it. But you know, I failed to do my part in turning it off. It was a country western station. You know, Brother Colbert listens to it. And from time to time, he said, I don't want to listen to country anymore because of the things they say. All the songs are not bad. But every now and then, one will sneak up on you and the melody sounds so good and the beat sounds good. But when you just stop and focus on the words, you're like, I can't believe they're saying that. And then our kids, our grandkids are going and repeating those things. And not being bad enough, I have to tell Justin not to sing those things. You know what Dante got in the house and started doing? Saying those same words. Why? Because I didn't tell him not to. I want to ask you a question. You find in God's word where God tells one man not to do something and that man is punished for it, should the next man be told not to do it? He should learn, shouldn't he? He should learn. And all this boils down to the reverence that we give to God. Now, I'm so thankful for since last March, Justin and Dante coming to live with. They have given me a whole lot of material. Anita's thankful, too, that I don't talk about her as much. And Brother Simmons, you off the hook for just a little while. A fear that is commanded. A fear that is commanded. A fear that is commanded. This kind of fear involves respect, honor, reverence, and a sense of awe. That's what we're looking at when we look at what Noah did. You think Noah was scared of God? That's not what that verse is talking about. He reverenced God. He knew who God was. He found favor in the eyes of God because of his obedience. We need to understand the importance of this fear. And understand the importance of it because this is what God expects out of man. And we'll see that right here The fear that is commanded, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. How important is God's word? Solomon, the greatest preacher besides our Lord and our Savior. The greatest man that ever lived, the Bible talks about. There's none that was before like him nor after him. The way that he asked God, when God asked him, what can I do for you? Give me wisdom to judge your people. Listen at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For why? For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know what this is, my brothers and sisters? It is a warning to fear God, to respect God. Give him where honor is due, and that is all of it, because he's our God. Are we willing to do that on this evening, to look at the words of Solomon and put those things into practice, to fear God and keep his commandments? We're not asked to do much more than that, are we? A lady asked many, many years ago, she asked, you know, why are we here? What is my purpose in life? Well, let's go back and think about the purpose of Adam and Eve. Their purpose in life was to do what? God created them in his likeness. He put them in the garden to tend to the garden. That was their purpose in life, was to tend to the garden, to fear God, do what he had told them to do. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to serve him, to fear him. And as we look at the end of that, once again, I want us to consider these words right here. With every secret thing. We talked a little bit about secret places this morning, did we not? There is no place that we can hide from God. So there is nothing that is a secret from God. How do I know that? How do I know? Because I didn't stop reading right there. I start reading at the end of it, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But then I had to go back up, didn't I? For God shall bring every work into judgment. Every work into judgment. Every secret thing. It is laid out before him right now. So what secret do you have that you don't want God to bring out later? Have you ever told a secret to someone and before you got home, someone else knew about it? See, God ain't, he's not sharing those things with nobody. You already know what you're trying to hide from him. You already know what you're trying to keep from him. But he's going to reveal it in the end. So we need to do what's right. This fear right here, to reverence him, it is commanded of us. Are we willing to do what the Bible says? In the book of Acts chapter 9, verse 31... Acts chapter 9, verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord, and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied, doing what God wanted them to do, walking the way he wanted them to walk. Why? Because they reverenced him. They honored him. They were glad to be a part of an elite group. A part of the church. Going back to Acts chapter 8. Looking at the persecution of the church. And when the people were persecuted, the Bible said they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. Scattered abroad. It didn't say that they were afraid of the people. If they were afraid of the people and being scattered abroad, because when you read the rest of that there in verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching. preaching. If they were afraid of the people, they wouldn't have continued to preach. So we look at what did they fear? Or what type of fear did they have? Yeah, they left, and there's no problem with leaving. It's what you do with what you have when you leave. They took what the apostles had taught them, and they shared it with others. Do you not believe that they didn't talk about reverencing God, honoring Him because of the existence of the church, and telling them how that they could too be added to the kingdom? And in comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. So we need to understand that walking in the fear of the Lord is just reverencing Him. That's all it is, reverencing Him. And we need to reverence Him. Again, going back to Noah, it says that he was moved with fear. Moved with fear. What moves us today? What motivates us today? Why are we here serving God right now? There's a reason why we're here. What is the reason? Is it because you didn't have anything else better to do? You know, it was 4:30, and I was taking a nap. I was sleeping good. Next thing I know, someone said, "Hey, Mamo, so it's time to go." I got up. Why? Because Mamo said it was time to go. There's times where I fear Mamo. Not reverence her, but I'm afraid of her from time to time. She said it's time to go, and it's let's go. She might have went off and left me, but that's okay. I only live right down the road, right? But we have to understand, when we are moved by fear, reverence of doing what God wants us to do, that's because we love Him. And we love His commandments. And His commandments are something that are so easy to do. If we would only put forth that effort. Noah built the ark again the way God told him to build it. He did what God wanted him to do because he loved the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and the verse is 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Again, in the reverence of God, in the awe of God, to honor Him. Let's do what's right before Him. Cleansing ourselves. How important is that? To keep ourselves unspotted from the world. To keep ourselves unspotted from the world. How important? I believe Brother Mark, you mentioned that this morning. Did you not? Say yes anyway. My mind, again, it goes and comes. Somebody mentioned it this morning in one of their prayers. But I want us to know this, that as we fear God, it's important to realize that He is watching us. And He understands how much reverence we're giving unto Him. See, we take things away from God and we try to place them in another area and try to give them to someone else. God does not want to share us with anybody. He wants to have the honor. He wants to have the glory, the respect that He deserves for being God. Again, He has made promises to us. Are we willing to accept those promises according to His word? Are we willing? We go back up to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we look at verse 14. He says, "Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial, or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? We are the temple of the living God, as God said, 'I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, go out from the midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Right there, right there. We look and we just take all this in, and we realize how important it is to keep the Word of God for a reason. For a reason that we may be His sons and daughters, that He may be our Father. These are some promises that He has made and some promises that He will keep as long as we continue to do what we are supposed to do. Philippians chapter 2 and the verses 12. Philippians 2 and the verses 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. You know, again, when we think about serving God, this is something that we do not enter into lightly. We enter into the service, you know, and again, with such honor. In a manner that God can look down and say, you know, those people right there is the type of people that I can call my own because they respect me, because they honor me. And this respect and this honor, again, it is something that He deserves. He's not making any of us do it, not a one of us. He's not making us do it. We have accepted Him. We have accepted His word. And therefore, not just in the presence of people are we serving Him, but out of the sight of people. Because we understand that God is watching us. And God wants us to do what is right. So let's keep doing those things. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, a fear that is forbidden. A fear that is forbidden. This is the fear synonymous with dread, alarm, fright, terror, apprehension, anxiety, perplexity, and distrust. We sometimes are frightened about a whole lot of things. We're terrorized about a whole lot of things. You have those people from time to time, and they have those anxiety attacks, and you wonder why. What is going on in their lives? Because they are afraid of this or they are afraid of that. We had a sister. We used to, you know, go traveling together from time to time, and we would get to a bridge, and she would be like, I don't want to go across that bridge. And she would close her eyes, and she would hold her breath. And then once we get to the other side, she would ask the question, are we there yet? Not at the end of our journey, but have we crossed that bridge so I can breathe, so I can open my eyes? See, there's a whole lot of things that I stated before I started the sermon that we fear. That we fear a whole lot of things. And we need to understand that when we are allowing things to cause us to be alarmed, to have dread about, some of those things will cause us to hurt ourselves. And when we allow that to happen, we're not the people that God wants us to be. So a fear that is forbidden. In the book of Psalm 91, in the verses 5. Psalm 91 and the verses 5. Again, all of these words that we're looking at, all these scripture references that we are referring to, it comes from God. God allowed these things to be written so that we may understand how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Let's start with verse 1. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. In verse 5. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, Why? Why? This fear is forbidden. But ask ourselves, why? Because God is our protector. God is our refuge. He's the one that's going to take care of us. You know, what can man do to you? What can man do to you? You know, that old saying when we were little kids, you know, you don't hear kids saying that now because they don't fight fair. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me. Why? Because we understood the importance of words. What? He said what to you? And you did what? Just because he said a couple of words, you acted like that? We should not allow words to cause us to have a feel a certain way about somebody or even about ourselves. See, God, his words are the words that we need to be looking at. His words don't even hurt us until it comes to the end. And then they hurt us because we have not done what we were supposed to do. So let's understand that thou shalt not fear, be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 32. In Luke, chapter 12, verse 32. How many times do we have to read in Scripture where we should not fear in order not to fear? Once should be enough. But we have more than one Scripture on this evening. In Luke chapter 12, and the verse is 32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. If you go back up and start with verse 22 and come down, you'll find that he says in verse 25, just to pick a verse out there, and which you... by being anxious and which of you by being anxious can add a single hair or single hour to the span of his life? Which one of us can do that? But by being anxious about this or about that, because we are actually fearing this certain thing, can add an hour to our lives? Which one? If you can, let me know. Or, you know, to add other things to our lives by fear or being anxious about this. Which one of us can do that? Not one of us. So again, we have to look at this. He says, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So we should not fear. We should not fear. The forbidden fear is not to be confused with caution. For example, fear of being run over will cause one to look both ways before crossing the street. That's normal, right? I sent Dante to the trash can, and before he came back across the street, he looked both ways. And that's what he's supposed to do. But what if Dante would have just stood there and said, I'm not going to cross the road. And I would have had to actually go over there and drag him across the road because he was too scared or afraid to cross the road. See, there was those times where mom and dad told you not to do certain things, and it wasn't, you know, when you look at that, it wasn't, you know, just being cautious. We didn't do those things because we understood what would happen if we did them. Don't leave the house until I get home. Did you leave the house because you honored mother and father? No, that's not the reason you didn't leave the house. We didn't even know about that verse when we were growing up. We didn't leave the house because we didn't want to get a whipping for leaving the house. And then sometimes we just accepted that whipping because we did not fear them. We did not, you know, oh, that little whipping ain't going to hurt us that long. We're going to go ahead and do it. We need to understand the importance of fearing God, reverencing him. And we need to understand that we cannot fear things that we do not have any control over. Let's just live for God and do what is right before him. If you're here this evening and you have not reverenced God, you do not fear him, you do not understand what your duty is, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's sit down face to face and let's look at the scriptures and find out what does God desire of each one of us, male and female. What does God desire of us? The whole duty of man, once again, is to fear God and to keep His commandments. Because you will hear about all the things that you have done in the end. But let's have a good report. Let's find our names in the book of life in the end. Let's be waiting to hear our Lord say, "Enter in, my good and faithful servant." Let's continue to fear Him. Let's continue to honor Him. Let's continue to do what we're supposed to do to be pleasing to Him. If you're here this evening and you're not a child of God and you want to become one, what's holding you back? What is holding you back? What are you afraid of coming to God? What are you afraid of? Are you afraid that you're going to lose some friends? Are you afraid that your family is going to turn you out? They're not going to have anything to do with you? Okay, let's say that's the reason. I want you to look around. You may only have a mother and a father and a couple of brothers and a couple of sisters that you are worried about. Look around, losing them, and look what you gained, or look what you will gain. A bigger family. A bigger family. Some people that will show you love, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what you've been through. A family that will love you. That's what it's all about. That's why God sent His Son to die for the sins of the world so that we may become one with Him. Amen. And one big happy family. Yeah, we're going to have our ups and our downs, but we're not going to fall out about it. We're going to do what is right before Him. So if you're here and you want to become one of His children tonight, that opportunity is yours to come forth and make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be immersed in the watery grave of baptism. Rising to walk a newness of life. Maybe you're here and you need to repent. Maybe you're here and you just need the prayers of the congregation. We ask that you let that be made known as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.